Hello, everybody, and welcome back to an all-new episode of Artsy of Fartsy Immigrants. Man, oh man, what a crazy couple of weeks we have coming up here in Munich. There's a lot of stuff going on. For those who may not know, a lot of my friends, a lot of my network here in Munich is connected to entertainment in different ways. Screenwriters, directors, actors, content creators, and the like. Musicians, comedians, things like that. Very lucky for that, very happy for that, and coming up pretty soon, kicking off, let me just take a little gander here, kicking off in 2 days, I guess, actually, no, it would be Friday, so the day after this comes out, is when everything starts, the 41st annual Munich International Film Festival, June 28th through July 7th. So there will definitely be a lot of stuff to talk about regarding the Film Fest in the next episode or two, certainly. I feel much more connected to the industry this time around than I did last year. I was invited to one special event last year. I was really grateful to go. It felt very... felt very Hollywood, but also still kind of small, if that makes sense. Like, it was my first, step into that world. So you have this sort of, surprising, weird, glowing mood of, oh, I recognize that person. Oh, there's a director, there's a producer. Oh, you should talk to this person. That's a composer, that's an actor, blah, blah, blah. Which is all very exciting. But at the same time, and I think this is beneficial for me, I don't know who they are. I know my friends, and I know a lot of people through them, sure. And there are a lot of really nice people in that game. But of course, there's also people that, aren't cool. But I don't really know a lot of the people that aren't cool. I just remember my own experiences going to smaller versions of this back in New Orleans, like the New Orleans Film Fest would have, a large array of people. And a film fest usually works about the same way. And this is what tends to happen. So you have a few days in a row with a schedule. This schedule will provide for you a selection of films that you can attend if you get tickets in time. At certain interesting locations around the city. Sometimes they are just straight up classic cinemas, and sometimes they are more diverse and unorthodox locations where they can still provide a screen with a decent audio setup. And you will watch a new film that has been accepted to this festival, where they, may or may not be looking for producers or looking for distributors. Most likely they're looking for people to take the film further. It's sort of like a giant pitch meeting. Otherwise, it's also a place to see films that don't need anything, but it's like an early access. Films that are already set to go to major cinemas, meant to go to streamers in a little while. Most importantly, despite all of the kinds of films that are shown, regardless of how big or how small they are in terms of financial ability or outreach, most importantly, and this is why people go to film fests, at least that's what I think, it's because, I would go as far as to say 99.9% of the time, the people who made the movie, at least in terms of the director, the writer, or the lead, partial amount of the lead cast, will be in attendance. And sometimes there's a Q&A either before or after. Depends how special the situation is, how big the audience is, how much demand might be to get a closer look. If you have a hot rising actor or actress or like this, you know, interesting first or even second, third time director who's got something hot, you know, off the grill, they will always be there and usually present the film. Oh, hey guys, thanks for being here in attendance. You know, it took a lot of hard work and a lot of passion from our team to get this through. Mike from makeup, oh Mike, you really were through the ringer there. 8 hours a day with our lead actress Samantha to get her in character to play Grogon the Seventh. And that's right, yeah, give it a round of applause for Grogon. Yeah, most important role to play is probably our first AD, Catherine, who had to schedule people like myself, who, of course, having written the film and saddled up in the podium position to direct this film, I'm not so good at listening to my alarm clock. I can see Catherine in the audience nodding her head to this. We were going through quite a lot to get this film made today, but I'm so pleasured to be able to present it today. That's enough out of me, mate. Here, please welcome our lead actor right alongside Grogon. We've got Mongoloid the Fourth, played by your very own Peter Strombolon.
Thank you for having us here. It's my first time presenting a film. I studied so long for acting and worked very hard, as some of you know from the theater. Normally I'm doing method, but for this film, I really wanted to step outside of my box. And I think that we did this. It would not be possible without my co-stars and, of course, David here, who is directing and writing the film. Please give a round of applause for everybody involved, and we hope you enjoy it.
It's a lot of that. And so outside of these screenings, outside of the actual, like, being in a room and watching a movie and, like, you know, potentially hearing from the people who made it, the real shingamajig, if you will, the real jingamagoo, the real shingalongamading-dong of this whole thing are the parties, brunches, and, you know, midday cocktail events hosted by production companies and agencies. That's the real sticking your ding-a-ling into a lemon. That's the real game of this whole of any festival, really. I mean, there's a lot of honor in getting your film into a certain film festivals. I mean, basically, if you get your, you know, hard-earned, independently made film into any festival, you're going to be happy for it. There's obviously a handful of famous ones that you would just, certain, you know, filmmakers would just kill to get into. I talked a little too much about Garden State last week. Had a real moment with that movie this week. Watched it in its entirety, listened to the soundtrack a lot, had a lot of personal connection with this film again. Not perfect, definitely hasn't aged perfectly either, but the perfect, like, turning point in my life, film-wise. But I'm not going to talk about it. I just mean to say, I watched an interview with Zach Braff, like, the same month that the film was accepted into Sundance. And it's so cool to see this young dude in his 20s. It's his first feature film. They made it for $2.5 million, and it gets accepted into Sundance. And for those who don't know, Sundance is one of the most prestigious film festivals to get accepted to. A lot of people try, and a lot of people don't get in. And the scale of acceptance, I mean, of film festivals all across the world varies tremendously. There's a few that are, I would say, in my opinion, on the same sort of scale as Sundance is like the most famous one. Like people will advertise their film by saying like, you know, the official selection at Sundance. You know, it just has so much, the judges of Sundance have so much respect. There's also Toronto International Film Festival, which is often shortened to TIFF, T-I-F-F. TIFF is just as exciting in my mind. And there's many more, many more. But off the top of my head just now, like Sundance and TIFF are just super exciting. So I just thought about like, you know, imagining being someone like Zach Braff in 2004, getting your, or 2003, I think, because it was before it even went to major cinemas. Just being a guy in your 20s and you make this movie and you have all your heart put into it and it gets into something like Sundance. That's you know, that's exciting. The stuff that doesn't excite me is these events. Like, I hate this concept of networking. I'm lucky in the sense that like my career has developed a lot in the last year and a half. I'm eternally grateful for that. I feel like I have, you know, earned an amazing audience. I'm still consistently surprised that people are, you know, turning up to engage with my content on a regular basis. The other day was the very first time in like 800 days or so. No, let's see, 20. Yeah, I mean, maybe. Yeah. I think yesterday or the other day was like the first time in 3 years or something that I didn't post like on any platform, which is very, like it sounds, very unusual for me. but it was good. You know, I just felt like things have just been piling up. And I just like found myself at the end of the day and it was getting to release time. And I thought, do I really sit here and go through like the archives of my stuff and find some old video that kind of did well just to recycle it again, which I've done many times when it comes to just being exhausted or having no ideas. And I just thought, it's okay. Like, I was basically just trying to comfort myself and say, it's okay. You're not gonna lose your following. I mean, I think it's less about worrying that I was gonna lose the following and more about losing this, like, algorithmic privilege. Like, part of me thinks, well, I've been consistent and that's what's helped me continue to grow. And then I thought, well, if I take a day off, is that gonna stop? Because but of course that's not true, because I mean, I have people that I know in this business who have way more followers than I do. And they were very surprised to hear that I post every single day. I've talked to creators exactly about that topic as guests on this podcast, which you can check out. So go back and look up the previous episodes. Anyway, I think the point I was trying to make was that despite having an audience and being happy with, you know, what I've been doing and stuff, I don't like networking. I don't know how that all wrapped around into itself, and I hope that makes some kind of sense, but I just don't like it. I don't like that word, networking. You know what networking, or like a networking event, you know what that feels like to me? It feels like when you're a little kid, and your mom has made friends with some other kid's mom through her job or like at the playground or something. And all of a sudden you've got to hang out with that lady's kid and you're like, oh, come on, you know, come meet, you know, it's funny cause I'm using a real kid's name that I didn't enjoy spending time with, but I was like, come on and spend some time with Jeremy, you know? And it's so funny when that happens. I feel like everybody has an experience like that where they were kind of more or less, you know, not forced, but they had to spend some time with some kid that, you know, sometimes was great, sometimes wasn't great because of the parents making friends or knowing someone from work or it's a family member, you know, some cousin or something. It kind of reminds me of that. Like, oh, come to, you know, Film Fest is like, yeah, a lot of the stuff I talked about already, but then the thing around Film Fests are these networking events, which I hate so much. I mean, it's less about like feeling that I belong there or not. I mean, technically, there's at least one or two events that I think make sense to be invited to go to. You know, like this production company that released the show Wrong that I did the music for. And they're also the ones who have picked up my TV show idea. It makes sense that when they host an event full of all the people that they've worked with, that when they invite me, it makes sense to say, yeah, okay, yeah, of course. Yeah. What am I going to do? Say no? Like, yeah, of course. Yeah, sure. Yeah, come on. Yeah, come on. Let's go there. Have some Aperol Spritz or a Hugo or some sect. Ugh. I mean, of course I'm going to go, you know, of course. Yeah, sure. And it was, you know, last year, that particular one individual party, well, I guess it was two technically, but one of them was this production company's party last year, and it was very fun. Had a really good time. Didn't want to go home when we did, but I did. I had a really good time. And still, now that I know it's already been a year, now that we're all the way back to this thing, and now I've been invited to more events, which at the same time that it's, you know, flattering, I don't want to do it. And it's nothing on the people or the entities that, you know, have invited me. Sorry. Like, I wonder if that makes sense. It's nothing to do with having more or less interest in any of those things. I just don't like going there. I don't know what it is. Because the thing is, the closest friends that I have in that world have so much of their own networking to do. You know what I mean? Like, let's take our good friend Moritz, for example. Moritz and his wife have written many wonderful, big, successful projects in the last couple of years. You know, Moritz has written a lot, if not all, I could be wrong, of this very, very, very popular show's, this very popular show, Pumukul, its reboot, right? So then you have like, wow, super successful show. Moritz is clean and clear attached to it. He wrote a feature film that I still can't really talk about on the show, which kills me. Big deal. Big success. International appeal. He wrote with his wife, worked on this two of these popular long-running German crime movie shows. I mean, it's 90-minute episodes. If anyone has ever seen, like Sherlock or something on BBC, where like it's an episode, but it's the length of a film. It's basically an entire film. You know, it's 90 minutes. That's the length of most, you know, just like common. I mean, 90 minutes is like the standard sort of box for, like, if I find out that a movie I'm going to see is shorter than 90 minutes, I tend to immediately think it's going to be bad. It's kind of this weird sort of structural rule. But anyway, that doesn't mean that it's, anyway, the point being that when I go there with the intention of, you know, hanging out with Moritz or with Ify or with you know, this guy David, or maybe even Giovanni, or like other people that I love spending time with and can have, you know, fun conversations with, they're all there to be balls deep in the film industry. Like, they are there to just like do what they do, be who they are, you know, let people come to them, or there's directors or producers or agents they want to talk to, and like, I don't got none of that, you know what I mean? Like, and this is not, and I need to make this clear, this is not me saying, oh, I'm not important enough to go to these kinds of events, no one likes me. Now, I'm not saying that. Like, I there's some thunder outside. That's why I keep like, I don't know if you've noticed, I keep like stopping and going every now and then because the thunder is just way too loud. Anyway, I am not saying that I don't belong at all. Like, I'm not worthy of going to these events. I'm just saying I don't like talking to lots of people. I have a very, and I also don't mean to say that, like, I don't have some worth. Like, I have, you know, pitched a TV show that was taken in by this production company. I composed all the music for another TV show. Like, I have a reason to be at these things. I just don't like doing it. I mean, there's occasionally the chance that you stand with a few people and for like 25 minutes, you have a great conversation. You know, there's like some free food on the table. You're getting like free champagne or whatever. You're dressed up nice, even though it's going to be so hot at this film fest. God, that's the only thing that kind of ruins it, is like you want to dress up nice and you're just pouring sweat, you know, the whole time. I do hate that. But it's definitely not me acting out of any kind of insecurity. Like, I don't want, you know, like mom to write a message and say, son, like, you know, be more confident. Like, you've done a lot. Like, I know I've done a lot and I feel confident in what I'm doing, but I just don't like going to these events based purely around this necessity to network. I just feel like I'm doing what I'm doing. And if somebody wants to reach out to me or talk to me or get to know me, usually I find that information in an email or an Instagram direct message. You know what I mean? Like, eventually, at some point, the information about like someone who wants to work with me or do something with me or would like to get to know me, whatever, like, that information comes to me. You know, I'm not going to go, I'm like, I'm not going out hungry for it anymore, which is a blessing. Sure, that's a blessing. And, but with that blessing of like not needing, like not, no longer having this hunger of like, oh, that's the producer from blah, 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 I have to go introduce myself. I have the complete opposite of that. Like, which is good and bad. Good because I have like enough confidence to be like, I'm not so starving for whatever that I know I need to make a good, you know, connection. I need to make sure that guy sees my face. You know what I mean? Like, there is some confidence in there, and I'm happy that I've developed that. I have not famously had tons of confidence my entire life. But on the downside of that, sure, it could potentially benefit me to make a bit more initiative and not just wait till things, you know, end up in my inbox. But that's just kind of where I am. I feel like in my life, I have like the way that engagement has gone up with my social media. Again, totally grateful for it. Wouldn't want to change it, but it's still like there's enough of like a regular daily intake of people that I don't know making some sort of reaction or commentary on what I do 24 hours a day that I don't. Like, that I no longer feel this need to go to a film fest party and like fight to make sure that I get FaceTime with some director. You know what I mean? And this is probably a big part of it. Let me just be completely honest here. This is going to sound a little bad, and this is not meant to sound bad. This is just kind of a truth. I don't know who anybody is, you know? It has its benefits because I'm not like crazy nervous when I meet somebody. If someone's like, oh, you were just talking to Stacy, what's her face? She's the lead actress on this huge TV show. I just have never seen German television. So, I mean, I've seen the things that my friends make, you know, I see the things that my friends make. I go to their premieres when I can, and I watch the things when they go to streaming or whatever, because I support them and I expect them to support me, and that's what a good friendship is. Otherwise, besides that, I why would I like fight tooth and nail to get into some networking party for like a film fest event when I don't know who anyone is? Like, if someone points out a complete stranger to you, a face in the crowd, and goes, that guy is the most successful you know, a film producer in Germany. Yeah, the name is not going to register. And I'm not going to be like, oh my God, can you put me in front of him? Or like if someone's like, this actress just won like four Germany equivalent Oscars. You know who I'll know? I'll know Diane Kruger because she's my pal. Because Diana Kruger follows me. That's why I will... I'll know her because she's a megastar who broke into like American cinema. Same with Sandra Hüller. If Sandra Hüller from Zone of Interest, from Anatomy of a Fall, if I see her around, I'm going to say, hey, look at that. Sandra Hüller said that's huge. Awesome. Otherwise, if there is like a selection of actors, actresses, producers, you know, whatever, all these companies, I don't know who they are. And it looks bad on me. Maybe it looks like I don't care. But also, do I care? I mean, I want to make a good impression. Look, if let me make one thing clear. If somebody comes to me and they say, hi, you know, or if I'm introduced, if, you know, if I'm with Moritz at one of these events or if you're someone and someone brings someone over or someone approaches us, you know, and I get introduced to somebody new for the first time, your boy's gonna be on his best behavior. Buddy JP's gonna make a good impression. You think I don't make good first impressions? They call me the Prince of First Impressions. I am gonna make people laugh. I'm gonna make them feel good. I'm gonna tell them that they smell nice. I'm a firm handshake, eye contact queen, okay? I'm gonna get all up into what their interests are. I'm gonna find out everything there is to know about somebody. I'm gonna make them feel interesting, good looking, and if anything, they're gonna fall in love with me, okay? Your boy does good first impressions, okay? I feel like Sebastian Maniscalco. Your boy does good first impressions, okay? So that's besides the point. If I get introduced or someone comes up to me, they're gonna like me. I'm gonna be nice to them. Of course, I'm not an idiot. I'm not a monster. I'm a friendly guy. I have a very limited social battery, so I might sneak off to the toilet to scroll TikTok on my phone for 10 minutes. But you know what? When I come back out, your boy's gonna be a nice guy. Okay? And maybe even now more than ever, being at the Film Fest has opportunities this year for more people to just approach me directly. Now I've made a bit of a name for myself. Now I have this, you know, TV show thing. Now I've built, you know, a reasonably sized online audience. Now I have this, you know, sold out tour. Like, it's not as if, you know, like, the thing is, like, I'm doing okay. And I'm not, like, I just don't like being shoved into a room with 150 people that I don't know, honestly. And in the end, if someone I've been introduced to, someone that has come up to me, is a nice person, just generally a nice person, and they're not boring, like they don't only talk about horoscopes or like high concept art house cinema to the point where you want to blow your brains out, chances are I'll make a friend of you. Chances are I'm going to get your contact. Chances are I'll see you again. You know what I mean? I'm an open fella, but I don't like being put into a room purely with this intention of, oh, you gotta come to the Film Fest party so you can network. I don't like networking. And there's, I feel like I've made it pretty clear now. I have a social anxiety is present. Social battery, pretty low. The hunger to make sure that important people see my face, not present whatsoever. The desire to pre-research all the people who will be there so that I know who they are, not present. I'm a busy guy, got a lot of stuff going on, Don't. And that's also like, okay, so I learned someone's name. This is just making this up, but like, let's say I learned someone's name is like Johannes Neumüller. And I swear to God, if that is somebody at this film fest, this is going to be so funny later. But let's say that I meet somebody at this film fest. Or like I look up, let's say I'm looking up who's going to be there. And I'm like, okay, at this event, this director, this big producer is going to be at the same event as me. Johannes Neumüller. Okay, okay. I'm going to get to the event and forget not only what they look like, I'm going to forget their name. And the chances are, even if I did research, I wouldn't find them. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't even remember. I would be like, it would be 1 a.m. and I'd be drunk on champagne going home in a taxi like, oh, you know who I forgot to talk to? Jans Neuhausen. I completely forgot about... I completely forgot about that. You know what I mean? It just won't stick. It just won't stick unless I work with them directly or I meet them through a friend and they're a cool person. You know, like the last film fest party for last year that I went to, I left. Did I make any new connections there really though? No. I mean, I talked to actors I knew already. I talked to composers I knew already. I talked to writers that I knew already, and there was a couple of people who came up to me because of the Instagram stuff, and that was it, and that was totally fine. Still dipped off to the bathroom to scroll Instagram and stuff for a while now and then, but you know what? It's just, that's a social anxiety thing, post-pandemic millennial curse. It's just also like kind of what's kind of just who I am now. I've grown to accept it, but yeah. Film Fest will have a lot of stuff to tell you after it's, or even during. I mean, it lasts a little while there. I don't even know. Let me see. This one comes out tomorrow. Then there's, yeah. So it'll be like, the next two episodes should have some pretty interesting stuff. There's events already going on like pretty freaking soon, man. The good thing is before going to a giant festival where people will probably know who you are and want to talk to you, it's good that I've gained a significant amount of weight. It's good that I've gained like 50, 60, 70 pounds. What an absurd thing. I'm like, I can't wait to get to this film festival. I was going to go as, you know, what's a good reference? Like, I was going to go as like modern day Jonah Hill, skinny as a rail. But instead, I'm going as 1990s John Candy. They're going to have to like widen the glass doors to let me in. They're going to have to like not let people into the elevator with me. Anyway, just want to let you guys know. So some updates here. Heat Supply and I are going to make a Jordan Prince hot sauce. They have sent me 3 profiles to taste. I'm going to do it with a few friends whose like palate and honesty when it comes to things like that matter a lot to me. So when I get those, probably it's going to be after the film fest. So it'll probably be a few weeks until you guys hear anything about it again. But I'm really excited to try them. They look beautiful. Heat Supply is a great company. If you are living in Europe and you love hot sauces or you love the YouTube show Hot Ones, please make sure to order from them because they're great. Very, very good pricing. They ship very quickly and they're kind. They're just kind guys, man. My contact at the company, his name is Frake. Which is already interesting enough, but it's spelled F-R-E-E-K. So you look at the thing and it's like, best freak. I remember the first email I had from him, it was like, hey man, just to let you know, my name looks a little weird to a Western eye or like to an American eye, but it's pronounced like Drake with an F. And this is before I saw the spelling, so I was like, Drafe? So his name's Drafe? And then I saw Freak, and I was like, oh, he means Frake. I don't know. Anyway, he says it's pronounced like that, so it's Frake. And his sauces are freaking good, man. So there's going to be a Jordan Prince sauce, and we're doing the taste test soon. The current tour for October, as I've talked about before, is completely sold out, and we are booking the theaters and seated locations for next year already, which is so exciting. I wanted to see if I have, oh yeah, I have it right here. We are most likely, not to spoil anything or give anything away, but we are definitely going to hit next year, Frankfurt, Cologne, Hamburg, Berlin, Leipzig, and Vienna, which is pretty exciting. So definitely stay tuned for that. Oh, and a big shout out to a smaller festival that I will be performing at next month, basically 1 month from right now, July 20th, Saturday, July 20th. The festival is called Brim Bamborium. So if you don't know anything about that, please look it up. It's about 40 minutes, I think, north of Munich. They have, like, if you're into it, they have some camping areas where you can stay over there. If not, it's not a long drive back to Munich. There's a train, of course, and it's a family-friendly festival that turns into like a techno party late in the night. Obviously, I'm not going to be staying for that part because I'm not a big techno guy, but it's going to be a really cool festival. My friend Tim Henkel organizes it with his buddies, and they have asked me to. I'm going to be doing some mixtures of jokes from the old hour that I've edited a bit and some jokes from the new hour that are going to be mostly incorporated into the tour in October. So if you want to hear some new content, or if you still haven't seen anything from the old hour, I'm going to be doing about, you know, 15 minutes of comedy and then about, you know, 15, 20 minutes of music, just some cool, relaxing acoustic music so people can drink beers and the kids can play around, people can eat. So really calm and cool. Brim Bamborium. And yes, hot sauce. Oh, I guess that's not so interesting now, but I was going to talk about how I ordered some more clothes from this company that I'm obsessed with, from the Maddie Matheson people. Rosa Rugosa. And I thought they sent it back to America. Like, I ordered more from here. They gave me like a private link to order it. And they like showed up to the door and wanted like $200 cash for the delivery, which is insane. It's like an export fee, which I didn't expect. And I was like, oh, I don't have that. I didn't know you needed that. And then he came, and then they tried to come by again and I wasn't home. And I was like, well, that's that. And I thought they were going to send it back. And suddenly today the guy shows up randomly weeks later and he's like, okay, 200, whatever. And I was like, you know, you have to tell me that you're going to come by. So wish me luck. Tomorrow he's supposed to come by before lunch. He said it's the last time he's going to do it, and then they are going to send it back. So please wish me luck that I get these new clothes before the film fest. Otherwise, I'm going to wrap things up here. Thank you guys so much for listening today. This was a really fun one to make. As always, share it with your friends. Rate, review, comment on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to this. The links in the show notes will send you wherever you need to go to check out tickets for Brim Bamborium, or if you want to go to the film fest parties, I'll be around. But I love you guys. Thank you so much and have a great week. Bye-bye.
Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, ein Podcast von Jordan Prince und Moritz Batscheider, produziert für M94.5.